Hey, Chris. We're on vacation, aren't we? So let's do an episode about video games. It's true. So games get short shrift. They take a lot of work. They require programming, usually very difficult programming. They require art, music, and a lot of skills to put together. And we have a surprising number of free software games. And so we thought we would talk about some of our favorites. So why don't you start? Yeah, it sounds super futuristic. I have played NetHack. It's fun. It's basically, for people who aren't familiar with this genre, it's basically top-down dungeon slash. So basically a fantasy game, but from a top-down perspective that without a ton of story, it's mostly action-oriented. And we're going to link in the show notes to one of my favorite articles, funny articles online. It says, "No new ATI graphics card pushes limits of ASCII gaming." And it's about yeah. So we're gonna link to that in the show notes. NetHack also there are versions you can play on the phone. And I remember going to work and playing NetHack on my train commute. So it's a fun game. It's definitely worthy of our list. The whole new world every time, yeah. And I think that's one of the, I mean, there are great games of the interactive fiction, and we've talked about interactive fiction on the IRC channel and may cover it in a future episode, but the cool part about a program like NetHack being free software is that if somebody comes up with one of these ideas, that they integrate it into the game. And even, you know, a new version, although those aren't as common anymore, can come up with new monsters or new challenges, and that's really cool. Wow. That's NetHack. Well, that's great. That was a lot of fun. So, you know, I don't know where to start, but I'm just going to take a stab here at one of my favorite games, which is Tux Racer, and then the current version is Extreme Tux Racer. So on the opposite side of graphics, Tux Racer was, I think, was one of the first beautiful games available as free software. So beautiful for its time, and I would say it's still very pretty. It's a racing game. You are Tux the Penguin, and you are racing down a slalom on your belly, catching fish, jumping, and it's really simple. It's exciting and relaxing at the same time. It's easy to get into this nice groove with it. It's fun and easy and beautiful, and again, visually beautiful. And I just really like it. I don't know how much else there is to say about it other than it's a beautiful game, I highly recommend it. Yeah, so it's a 3D game, and it does require some 3D graphics to run. Yeah, so that's Tux Racer. Back to you. All right. So we got, those are two awesome roguelikes. So the next one on my list is a real-time strategy game, and it's a real-time strategy game with a twist. It's called Globulation 2. It's also an older game. I mean, I think all of these, minus except for one, are somewhat older. But Globulation 2, and so if people that are familiar with the real-time strategy genre, it's a lot of micromanagement. It's take this character, click on him, and have them do something. Have them build something, have them attack something. And those are really fun and great. Globulation 2 takes a very different approach. So instead of micromanaging individual actions, you basically create little motivations. And your characters in your team or group, they will do things like eat. And they'll decide when they need to do that or when they need to be defensive. And you can change some of that. You can direct them in certain ways, but you can't totally control them. And it makes for... Right, exactly. So it makes the gameplay a lot more fluid. And in some ways more frustrating, because you as you're playing, you have to think of them as having their own motivation rather than just being an extension of you. It's really fun. Oh, they look like little globs. Little walking globs. So they've got a little head and feet, but they're uniform. They're really cute and fun. We'll of course link to the games in the show notes, and I definitely recommend looking at the screenshots and playing all these games. All right. So next on my list is a hugely popular one that I've even seen non-free software people playing, and that's Frozen Bubble. And Frozen Bubble, which is based on, I guess, the Puzzle Bubble game, you said? Yeah, that's right. And I remember seeing this game in the 90s in arcades. So Frozen Bubble is a... a free software version. You basically aim a little bubble at a screen. It's hard to describe. It's basically a real-time puzzle game. Another really popular now on mobile platform. And by the way, Frozen Bubble can be played on Android as well as desktop. It's really fun. The art is really beautiful. It's really cute. And the music is super, super addictive. And you'll be listening to it in your sleep for sure if you're playing it. It is. Oh, I was gonna say it's also got a multi. The graphics are gorgeous, and it's got multiplayer too, which is not as popular anymore. But I remember going on and playing with other players around the world. Yeah, and one correction though, it's not based on Bubble Bobble. Bubble is an entirely different type of game. Yeah, that's right. Platformer, yeah, or not quite, but yeah. All right, now to you. Yeah, I'd never heard of it before you just mentioned it. So it's like a game jam? Is that basically it? Which you get to say over and over. So the next one is a relatively new game, and a lot of people are unaware that this is actually a free software game because you can get it on Steam, and it's called Endless Sky. It's a trading game that has a lot of different elements. So in traditional trading games, you go around, you go to one area, you buy stuff, and then you go to a different area and you sell it. In Endless Sky, you can absolutely do that and just go exploring and selling products from one area to another. But you can also, and by the way, I have played the game completely in that mode and found it super relaxing and fun just to chill out and go and do little simple delivery missions or just do product triage where you buy it cheap from one star system. So it's a space trading game. So you go to different star systems and buy products and sell them. And that's totally fun and relaxing. But you can also play it you can be a good guy and you can fight pirates and you can take their ships, or you could be a pirate and you can be attacking other ships and holding them for ransom or taking them over and selling them. It's got beautiful graphics, really nice gameplay, a thin but present storyline, and it's just a really nice game. Why don't we do one more and then I think we'll stop for here for this time. Why don't we just do one more each? All right, so I think we're gonna wrap up with mine. And this one's gonna take a little bit of explanation. So my last game recommendation is one called Empty Epsilon. And so to understand Empty Epsilon, you have to understand Artemis, which is the proprietary origin of this game. So Artemis is, as far as I know, the first of a genre of game called bridge simulators. And the way to think about a bridge simulator is to think about yourself on a science fiction starship, such as the Enterprise in Star Trek. So if you can imagine that each player has a computer in front of them, and every computer in the game, oh, so you play together. So you get a bunch of your friends together in a room, and each of you has a computer, and each computer represents a station on the bridge. So someone will have helm, and someone will have long-range sensors, and someone will have communications, and someone will have weapons, and someone will be in charge of engineering. And then there's the captain, and the captain doesn't have their own computer. They just coordinate between the other players and oversee the ship as a whole and make sure that everyone is working together. And I that in a little sense. Long-range sensors will say something about, you know, what they detect in a faraway area, and communications won't be able to see that, but the captain will say, communications, go tell that ship to do this other thing, or weapons, fire at this, or we need to dock at this particular space station. So they're acting as the coordinating entity, keeping this crew coherent and able to do their missions. So that's Artemis. Empty Epsilon began its life as an Artemis clone, but it has since become quite a bit more than that. They take a far more, so first of all, they have simplified the stations in such a way that you don't have to, so in Artemis, you must play a six-person ship. You need a minimum of six people, but Empty Epsilon has different types of ship configurations where you can have six, but you can also have a single-person ship or a four-person ship, and there are advantages and disadvantages of each. The ships work better with one person because you can fine-tune things, but it means that you don't, you know, your fun doesn't end if you have five people. So that's that alone made it a lot more interesting. Secondly, it made some of the stations more skill-based. So in Artemis, certain stations are quite automated, so just click and wait, whereas in Empty Epsilon, you can optionally make those stations more interactive. So as you get better, the gameplay gets better. And you can tune it back to the way Artemis plays, or you can keep it in more interesting. So I like that too. So you get more diversity and more challenge. And they take a so next thing is that they make the this is hard to explain, but instead of seeing a map of the entire galaxy, your view of the world is centered around your ship. So it makes it feel a lot more scary and a lot more interesting because you don't necessarily see everything that's going on, and that increases the tension, which is makes the game more fun. And lastly, and I think most importantly, they have changed the AI, and the AI in Artemis is really dumb, and you can pretty much easily beat even the most difficult ships just through outsmarting them. And that's not the case in Empty Epsilon. The bad guys are a lot more intelligent, and they'll try to lure you in. They'll maneuver around you. They'll try to escape, and they don't do any of that in Artemis. The game is just great, and I love when I can run it. I don't get to run it as often as I would like, but it's definitely fun and worth downloading and worth contributing to, and actually I have contributed to. There are some things that I don't love about Empty Epsilon, but overall it is an excellent game, and it is also still in development, so highly, highly recommend it. Yeah, it's actually more visually, it's more beautiful than its proprietary competitor. The look of Empty Epsilon is better than the look of Artemis. So a few small downsides, I will say, the music in Empty Epsilon could use some improvement. And if we've got any musicians, I would love if you could make better music for Empty Epsilon. The music is not the best. They were looking for ship models, and I bet they still are. The models are not amazing, but those are easily fixed. Changing the ship models and changing the music is super easy, but the core gameplay is just extraordinary. There were some bugs in some previous versions, and my biggest gripe is that there are no packages that I have found for Empty Epsilon for Linux. And that is it's a pain, even though you can download the source and compile it. But the gameplay, when it works, it is just amazing. Okay. Yeah. So what you would do is, I don't remember, I thought there was an APK for Android, but I don't see it, so I'm gonna think that maybe I just made that up. So what you would do is you would go to someone's house, and I would suggest someone who has a big screen television. So if you can think about the Enterprise, imagine that someone's big screen TV is the main viewer. And you should, and my suggestion is, and it's not required, but my suggestion is you make the server connected to the main viewer. And then each of you connect to that server across the local network, and then take, then you'll decide what kind of ship you want, and there are different types of ships and different configurations, and then you'll choose your stations, and that's it. And then go off and play. And then there's actually scripted missions, so... there's a war breaking out and you need to do this at this particular time or that particular time, but I'm not as familiar with those as I am with just playing it straight. Yeah, it's really, really cool. All right. Yeah. All right, well, before we do, let's just say that you can find us at LibraLounge.org. You can find us individually on Twitter. I'm at Emaxin on Twitter, and you are... And I'm at Emaxin at Emaxin.net, and we have a new... account for our Fediverse. It is LibraLounge@floss.social. So you can find us there as well. And we would love if people have suggestions for other games that they would like us to talk about, or one of the game developers would like to come on and talk with us in depth about their game. We would love that too. So be sure to check us out. And thanks a lot for it. Oh, right. And you can find us. Yep, come and join us and hang out with us. We're there quite a bit. All right, thanks a lot, everyone. Have a good one.